Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our special guest a Democratic candidate for lieutenant governor. He's presently the mayor of Cumberland, Daniel McKee. Thank you for joining us.
I appreciate the invite.
We're going to start with a couple of questions for our guest. Mayor McKee, you've been a champion of mayoral academies, which are kind of like a charter school. They've had some success with student achievement. But how do you respond to the critique that these schools, by taking kind of the cream of the crop out of traditional public schools and perhaps leaving behind students who have more problems and less parental guidance, that these schools are exacerbating educational inequity?
Well, first, I would disagree with that statement. I only can speak to the mayoral academies in Blackstone Valley. That's out of a lottery, and 60% free and reduced lunch students come out of that lottery between Cumberland, Lincoln, Pawtucket, Central Falls, and 40% Hispanic. And with all the issues that any student body would have. So I don't agree with that in terms of.
But aren't these schools, you know, they might be doing good work, but aren't they leaving behind many of the issues and challenges in public schools? Aren't they leaving those issues untouched with the students who remain in the traditional schools?
Well, I mean, the argument there is that somehow that the parents opt into a mayoral academy and they leave less involved parents in the schools. Invite me to the school where you could bring me in the room and show me parents that don't care about kids. I don't see that in my experience.
Let's go to Scott.
Do we pay the 38 Studios bonds or not pay them?
Well, I think you find the least expensive option, and clearly I think that you bought insurance. You should be really looking thoroughly at using that insurance.
Let's go to Maureen.
I'd like to ask you about your upcoming election. Your opponent, Ralph Mollis, has pursued in two races for Secretary of State, successful races, an urban strategy. You seem to be able to carve into that a bit because of your success in areas, particularly with charter schools, and should be doing well in suburban areas. How does the potential entry of Frank Ferry into this race affect your strategy, campaign, and chances for winning?
I don't think it changes the strategy. If a third person comes in, our strategy is still to get 50% plus one. Regardless if there's two candidates in the race or three. So we would stay the course and go to where we believe that it's important to engage people to not support the status quo, that we need change, and that message is resonating, and it's going to resonate with the same people that it's resonating today, whether there's one opponent or two.
What about the South County? Like, for example, how do you see a base developing there for your message?
Just like I think that a lot has to do with name recognition, and we're going to have to build that up over the course of the campaign, and that's why we're raising money at faster rates right now than my opponent, and we're going to be advertising and certainly reaching out to the South County, not only on a retail level in terms of face-to-face, but also we're going to get on the air and we're going to advertise and let people know why I believe I could do a good job as lieutenant governor.
Another week and more developments related to 38 Studios. Channel 12 broke the news that former House Speaker William Murphy visited the video game maker at its former Massachusetts office in 2009. And one of the candidates for treasurer, Frank Caprio, is criticizing how the state rehired as its financial advisor First Southwest of Lincoln, which is one of the companies being sued by the state over 38 Studios. Mayor McKee, what do you make of this criticism of First Southwest? Is it wrong for the state to rehire a company that it is suing in this 38 Studios lawsuit?
Yeah, it probably is. I mean, out of caution, it would make more sense not to do that. But out of full disclosure, First Southwest is our financial consultant in the town of Cumberland and has done a really good job with us. So I say that more of an abundance of caution as opposed to whether they're a qualified firm. That firm has helped us go from junk bond to a rating bond, and also has brought us down to Moody's to New York when we were at the most critical points several years back to meet with Moody's. So they're credible. I think out of caution, it would make sense to stay away, though.
Scott, what do you make of this news that Bill Murphy visited 38 Studios in 2009 and helped broker a meeting between Curt Schilling and the Massachusetts House Speaker?
Well, I'm not sure that is really evil at this point, because we don't really know what was said. I mean, and yet you know how cynical Rhode Islanders are about this entire deal. Once again, it just shows that the state didn't do its due diligence. Nobody looked very hard at this deal. And once again, the legislature had 2 years to try to figure out what to do about these bonds being paid. They knew a day of reckoning would come, but in typical Smith Hill fashion, they swept it under the rug.
Maureen, what is your reaction to this revelation about Murphy's involvement? And what do you say about whether the state should be doing business with a company that it's also suing?
Well, first of all, I agree with Scott even more strongly. I don't know why this is a big issue. I mean, I don't know why, because Bill Murphy met with Curt Schilling and introduced him to the Massachusetts Speaker. That's not illegal. That's not improper. I think this
But isn't that unusual? Why would a Red Sox player need a Rhode Island politician to introduce him to a Massachusetts politician?
Maybe he knew him. Maybe he saw
him
at
a
party.
They
all know each other, and he's a speaker. I mean, I don't see.
I mean, the suspicion obviously comes because the Massachusetts Speaker is now in prison.
Right. But I mean, the thing is, we can't extrapolate from that that there was something wrong with Bill Murray.
I'm not. I'm just saying it raises suspicions.
I think we don't want to have a witch hunt here in terms of every little clue become some suspicious, nefarious thing.
Yeah, the only thing I would wish that the Speaker might have done a better job selling Massachusetts to take that loan.
The commission in charge of redeveloping the former I-195 land has held a series of votes in a closed executive session on Monday and then offered some brief details on the nature of the proposals under consideration. Maureen, do you think there's enough transparency in this process?
My take on this is yes, in the sense that there's always going to be people that are going to complain. I think you have to walk a balance between some retaining of information, not to threaten people that are going ahead and make these financial disclosures. And what we see now are we have several credible bids. It seems like this thing is going along, and I think there's a balance that they're trying to strike. And as far as I can see, I think it's a reasonable one.
Mayor McKee, is this 195 commission process transparent enough for your liking?
As long as they disclose the people who are interested in the projects. I don't think they have to necessarily disclose the negotiations that go around those projects. But as long as they do that, and also I think when if we are fortunate enough to find the right developer or the right project person that we want to have manage that, make sure that vote is done in public and then make sure the discussion is done in a way that everybody hears the details of what that proposal looks like and what the commission is approving.
How about you, Scott?
I wish there was more transparency, only because this is very important. You got one shot with this land, and I look back at Newport, and I know I always mention this. After the Navy left town, Newport allowed some things to happen along the waterfront that years later they were very upset about and really hurt the town, but they were hurting so badly that they took any investment they could, and they didn't make provisions for things like parking. So I hope that the commission gets enough public consensus so that we're not totally frosted by what they put down there.
We're short on time here, so keep your comments brief, and we'll start off with Scott. It looks like the state is facing a close to $70 million deficit for the fiscal year starting July 1st. At the same time, we know legislative leaders would like to cut some taxes like the corporate tax and the inheritance tax. How do you see the outlook?
Well, it's always difficult to cut taxes when you have a deficit. We all know that. However, there is a path. The path would be to lower the top sales tax and extend the bottom out in a manner that Governor Chafee tried to do 3 years ago.
What do you say, Maureen?
I say that I think the legislature feels compelled to do something, and I think you'll certainly see a reduction in the corporate tax rate, and I think the idea of combined reporting will offset some of that loss. They have to give business something, and I think this is something that'll definitely go. I'm not so sure about the sales tax this year.
The last word here to Dan McKee.
I think that they need to be competitive with our neighboring states. So if they inching that along one at a time, that's fine. But my feeling on it as a lieutenant governor is I'll commission a report that will show a full strategy that on all the tax issues that we're facing to make us competitive with our neighboring states.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And candidate for lieutenant governor, Daniel McKee.
Thank you, Ian.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.